Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. When you get there, if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're able. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Bible says in Galatians 3, 5, He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? May the Lord bless the reading and teaching of His Word. Amen. You may be seated. And the receiving of His Word, right? It's been a few weeks since we've been here. We had our homecoming. We also taught on the Lord's Supper as we took in that. So I do want to go back over some of these things. I want to make sure that we're not confused or led astray in any way. The Galatians had allowed false teachers to come in and to teach. They allowed false teachers to come in and they gave them a platform to teach and to preach a false gospel. They were swayed by these false teachers. They came in. They may have had a charisma about them that really made people like them. They may have been good entertainers, good orators, good speakers. But either way, they had allowed these false teachers to come in and teach them. And they were swayed by these false teachers. These false teachers were proclaiming a false gospel. There's only one gospel, right? One true gospel. Anything else is a perversion that takes people away from Christ, not to Him. And these false teachers were convincing the Galatians that in order to be saved and to stay saved, that you must adhere to the Mosaic law and be circumcised. Now, as appealing to the flesh as this is, it is not God's prescribed plan. No one works to be saved. Never have and never will. In the Old Testament, they were saved the same way that we are saved today, by grace, through faith, in the promise of God. And that promise, of course, we know is Jesus Christ. No one works to be saved. No one works to stay saved. Again, salvation is by grace, through faith, and both, as we learned this morning in Sunday school, are a gift of God. Our salvation is secure because it is God who saves us and He keeps us saved. No one can separate us from the love of God. You can read Romans chapter 8 and see that. Keep in mind that the churches, actually a combination of churches in the region of Galatia, they were truly churches. The churches we learned this morning, they are made up of those who are saved. Right? The saints. And then, inside the church also are the tares with the wheat. Tares at times can be louder, can look better, and sound better than the wheat, and they can take people and lead them astray. But the point I want to make here is that this church, though they were doing wrong, they were still considered what? A church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a perfect church on this earth today? There's not. Because people make up churches, don't they? You and I are not perfect. This is not a perfect church. This is a good church. A church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. But we're not perfect. We'll see the same thing with the church at Corinth when we get there here in a little while. Paul, as directed by the Holy Spirit, writes this letter of rebuke to the Galatians. How stern is this rebuke? How hard has this rebuke been? Can the world today, which we live in America, take a rebuke like this? What would the church in America do today if someone stood behind a pulpit and said, "Y'all are stupid"? Oh, that offends me. Vote him out. How dare you say that S word? Yet here in Galatians, Paul says it twice. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, he says what? Read it. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, who hath tricked you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3, are ye so foolish? Look it up, study the word. He's saying, are you so stupid? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? So again, he is rebuking them. They were taught the truth, but they were bewitched by false teachers. And this has a snowball effect. This is a slippery slope away from the truth. Man ends up replacing the Holy Spirit with works of the flesh. People say God's not working how we think He should work, so we will fabricate what appears to be spiritual. When in fact it is a working of the flesh. Yeah, someone gets up who can move your emotions. Toy and play the emotions. Have you laughing? Have you crying? Put on a show. They have the altar call. It's packed out. No one's left in the pew. Everybody says, oh, what a great service. The Holy Spirit showed up. When in fact, it was simply a working of a man who was able to articulate his words to move the people and appear to be a move of God when it really was a move of man. And you see the results of it. No one grows in the Word. Say, what did he preach on? I don't remember, but it felt great. The experience was wonderful. Would you grow? I mean, how'd you learn? What did the Word say? I don't remember his text, but it was good. You don't remember his text? Didn't he open his Bible? This went off of a song. This is evident in the shallow theology that is produced through this. Shallow theology results in sinful living. People become more, we are out of factories, and people become focused on self. And people say, well, how can the church benefit me? If I go here, what can I get out of it? And they start saying things like, well, I'm more concerned with what the Scripture means to me than what the Scriptures actually mean. So you end up with shallow theology, if any theology, and people are focused on self and not on Christ. And here's where we're going with this. Those who are focused on self will not serve others, but will want others to serve them. They worship themselves. They elevate themselves above everyone else. Then you have all these divisions in the church. Well, we're better than y'all for whatever reason it may be. So y'all need to serve us because we're the kings and queens of the church. For whatever reason it may be. Terrible place for the churches to be. We have learned through this study that we cannot live for Jesus Christ without the aid of the Holy Spirit. We are learning that we serve Him and others by that which the Holy Spirit furnishes to us. So what is it that the Holy Spirit gives us? Gifts of the Spirit. And that's what we want to pick up on today, are the gifts of the Spirit. So let's continue this study by again looking at the definition here in verse 5 of the word Spirit. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Again, I know we've already looked at these things, but I want to go back over them again before we go forward. So the definition for the word spirit here in verse 5 is specifically of the empowerment imparted by the Holy Spirit on and after the day of Pentecost, by which the apostles and early Christians, important you hear that terminology, early Christians, were endowed with high supernatural qualifications for their work. Knowledge equivalent to a full knowledge of gospel truth and the power of prophesying, working miracles, and speaking with languages previously unknown to them, all done in evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So these supernatural qualifications were given to the early Christians to validate the messenger and the message. So the question always comes up, are all these gifts still in use today? Well, we get our answer from the Scriptures. And the Scriptures, hope this doesn't come out wrong, the Scriptures are validated by history. When was Galatians written? Y'all remember when we started this, we said that more than likely this was Paul's first epistle that he wrote. This would be somewhat early or mid of his ministry. He used to have the apostles and the early Christians. Probably 52 to 54, 55 A.D. Galatians was written. The next epistle Paul wrote was 1 Corinthians. In Galatians, Paul does not give a list or explanations of the gifts, but they understood what he was talking about. In 1 Corinthians, Paul does give a list of these gifts. And he also points out how they were being misused by the Corinthians. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians was also written early in Paul's ministry. This would be the second book that Paul wrote. This may sound boring to you, but it's very important. Here's why. When Galatians was written, do you know what they still had? These supernatural gifts. When Corinthians was written, do you know what they still had? These supernatural gifts. In Corinthians, you see how they were starting to go away, so they would begin to fabricate these gifts. And they were rebuked in chapters 12, 13, and 14. We'll read that in a little while. But then you have, after Galatians and 1 Corinthians, you have Romans written. And in Romans, we'll see gifts of the Spirit, but what we will not see there or these gifts known as sign gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, again, we'll look at more of the gifts of the Spirit, and what you will not find there are sign gifts. In 1 Peter chapter 4, again, we'll see more gifts of the Spirit, but what you will not find there are the sign gifts. These books were written later than Galatians and 1 Corinthians. So what do we see? We see a going away from those sign gifts. And what is left for the churches are those that are still in the churches today. Those gifts that edify the church. Gifts by the Holy Spirit. See, the thing about these other gifts is that they catch the eye. These sign gifts of speaking in tongues or casting out demons, healing people, they really catch people's eyes. Like, oh man, that's cool. That is awesome. That's the one I want. That's not how it works. That's not how it worked back then. It's not how it works today. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, I know we've looked at some of these things, but I want to go back over it before we get into Romans chapter 12 next week. I trust that we'll all learn through this. Understand that each of us have gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. All who are saved have gifts. And these gifts are to be used in and through the Lord's church, edification of the body, also a proclaiming of the gospel around this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read a lot this morning. I didn't read this last time. I know it was two or three weeks ago. But we're going to read all the way down through chapter 14. So stay with me. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, look what he says. I would not have you, what? Ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about them. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. What is a dumb idol? It can't see, hear, or speak. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. What's going on here? People are coming in saying, the Spirit has told me that Jesus is accursed. Red flags should be going off, right? So obviously someone's coming in saying they were filled by the Holy Spirit of God, or they were saying things maybe in another language that was, it was obvious that they were demon-possessed possibly, and they were saying that Jesus is accursed. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are different ministries. You know, we're all different. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The same Lord, the same God, the same Spirit. You and I have no room for boasting. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to, notice this, or do what? Profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he will. This is very important we understand this. God, by the Holy Spirit, gives you and I the gifts that He would have us have. We're not to covet with someone else's gifts. But we're to use what God has given us for His glory in and through His church. Look, Paul makes us clear in these next verses. For as the body is one and hath many members, right? We have a body, don't we? And all the members of that one body being many, or one body, so also is Christ. Same thing, the church. This is a body, an organism. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. What has God done? All these walls of partition, what's happened? Been taken down. We're all one in Jesus Christ. No one's above someone else because of the color of their skin or their nationality. For the body is not one member, but many. Notice this. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? He's saying, how dumb is that? The foot saying, well, I want to be the hand. And if I can't be the hand, I don't want to be part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? His ear saying, I can't see, and I want to be the one to be able to see. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, oh, your ears, they're beautiful. I love your ears. Just look how they sparkle. No, huh? And you may not have ever had someone come to you and say, your eyes are beautiful. I don't know, but you more than likely, you're not going to have someone say, your ears are beautiful. So the point that's being made here is that there are people who want those gifts who are seen and are more desirable. Think about it. If you were a part of a body, whether it be the hand or the foot. I don't like feet, personally. I wouldn't want to be the foot. Have them nasty toes on you. Them nasty toenails on you. We say, well, this is kind of ridiculous. I have to say, exactly. Exactly. Look what he says. And if the ear shall say, because I am not in the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Though we're hearing, where were the smelling? So each part of the body, what is very important. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, notice this, as it hath pleased Him. Not only can we not desire someone else's gifts, we cannot make someone else have a gift they don't have. Force people into positions to do things that they are not gifted to do. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part, that part which when we think of a body today, we can think about these people who are good athletes. Someone can run down a football field and catch a pass with one hand today. It's amazing how they can catch like that. Could be some type of glue on those gloves. Snot or something. But catch the pass, say, you know, his hands are great, all these things. How about his legs? How about his feet? Can he get down there without his feet or his legs? Not with the way they're playing. Yet they're important. No one's saying, oh man, that's great feet. But he's got great hands. He's got great vision. How important are his feet? Couldn't he make it without his feet? Same thing with the church. Find out, and Lord willing, next few weeks we'll find out these things, which gifts the Lord has given you, and everyone is individually different, okay? And then use that for His glory in and through His church. Let's get back to the scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 25, that there should be no, notice this, schism or division in the body. Okay, God has made you who you are. God has gifted you with your gifts. So there shouldn't be a division. Say, well, I don't want this gift. I want that one. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Nor should anyone say, well, you know, those feet over there, they stink. Well, those ears got hair coming out of it. Whatever it may be. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. This body is on the same team. What happens if a part of your body starts to rebel against the rest of your body? You have an organ inside of you that begins to rebel, to reject the rest of the body. What's going to happen to that organ? What's going to happen to your body? It's going to be bad. The end result is going to be death. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Particular members. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Verses 29 through 31 are very important. Are all apostles? Well, this is a rhetorical question because everyone knows the answer. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Verse 31, but covet earnestly, notice this, the best gifts. And yet shew I unto a more excellent way. What are the best gifts? That what God has given you is the best gift for you. And it is for the edification of the body. Not that someone part of the body says, look at me, I'm the best. The edification of the body. We all grow together. Not in competition. If a body's in competition, can you picture yourself beating a part of your body up that you're mad at? Your own body? What would we call that? Dumb? Stupid? Not wise? You know, there are multiple churches that do that. Beat each other up. They run each other down. They're in competition one with another. And then there are churches in competition with other churches. How ridiculous is that? Let's go to chapter 13. Now again, picture these Corinthians. They wanted, they coveted those gifts that in their mind they thought was the best ones because they got the most attention. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Do you understand what they were missing here at Corinth from verse 1? Charity. The word charity is also translated love. And when you and I are in a spirit of competition among each other, we're not doing things in love. We're not doing things to edify the body. We're doing things to worship ourselves, to pick ourselves up, to exalt ourselves above everybody else. And that's not love of the brethren. That's love of who? In our society today, promotes self. They'll say, look to yourself. I hate when I see this. People say things like, keep negative people out of your life. And I want to say, you are so stupid. What are you going to do? Keep everybody away from you? You going to lock your door? You going to live in a bubble? By the way, stay away from yourself. You know why? Because all of us at some point, some way, somehow, are negative. The underlying motive there is that exalt yourself, keep people away from you that need you. They need you to help them. But they are unhealthy, they're toxic for you, so stay away from them. Only associate with people who are just like you. Do you see the divisions that that's causing in our society? Y'all ready to kill me now? Stop and think about it. Is that what the Bible says to do? No. We're to edify one another. We are to build each other up. We'll get to Romans 12. We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Put others before us. Get away from this world system that says you, 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 and you make yourself an idol. I must hit a nerve this morning. Or y'all have been that influenced by this world system and don't even realize it. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, what am I? Now think about it. When you're saying, you negative people get away from me, how loving is that? Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is what? Charity. It's love. All this self-idolatry junk that's in, that has came into the church today is pushing love right out. Many divisions in the church today. Because we're focused on self. Y'all do understand that the church overall in America is on decline. Small churches are closing down by the thousands each month in America. Bigger churches are hanging on by a thread. The few from the small churches going to the bigger churches because they're still open. Church is not important anymore. Church membership is not important anymore. Serving in the church is not important anymore. I know this may be hard this morning, but we need to hear this. I'm saying it again, serving in the church is not important anymore. Church has become a checklist. Done that for the day. Now I can go do what I want to do. When we are serving in the church, who are we actually serving? There's two. We are serving each other, aren't we? But ultimately, we are serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love who? The brethren. You see what's missing today with all this pragmatism going on? All this self-idolatry in our culture? We don't need the church anymore. Because I've got myself. I don't need no one to serve me. So I'm not going to go serve anyone. Because I've got myself. How bad was it at Corinth? It was bad. How bad is it in our day? It's bad. Again, we are to the point in today's time where people are fabricating workings of the Holy Spirit and attributing to Him things He is not doing and things that He is not involved in. Let's go to chapter 14. Follow after, seek, follow hard after, desire charity. And also desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may, notice this, prophesy. Now be careful here, this word prophesy, because we automatically think some kind of prophet standing up, foretelling some kind of future event. That's not always the case with that word. Prophesy here is speaking about those who have a ministry in public speaking, a teaching and preaching of the Word of God, the oracles of God. And we'll see that in 1 Peter chapter 4. Notice this. For he that speaketh in an, we can say tongue. You see the word unknown? It's in italics. For those of you who do not know what that means, in the King James Version, that's put there, letting us know that word is not in the original. That word, unknown, is put there to help us understand. So we can say it, for he that speaketh in an tongue. A tongue, glossia, a language. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Now how edifying is that to the church? If no one in the church has any idea what you're saying, how edifying is that to the church? It's not at all. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, notice this, to edification and exhortation and comfort. These three things here are very important for the church. That you and I come here to be edified, to be exhorted, to be challenged, and to be comforted. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth who? What do we see here? Self-idolatry. Look at me, my bad self. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So why was it that most people would rather have some kind of tongue? Because it looked good. It drew attention to self. Yet it was killing, it was strangling the church. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. And even things without life-giving sound, with a pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped? A harp, this is a simple illustration he's using here. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? People are going to be confused, aren't they? What do we do? This isn't helpful. This is hurtful. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. A barbarian is simply a foreigner. There's no help there. Have y'all ever talked to someone who, or try to talk to someone who is from a different country? There's a language barrier there. What do you need? You need some help, don't you? I ain't got a clue what they're saying. You're not being edified. There's confusion. Everybody's going, huh? And then they start on hand signals. You know, run here, open door, chocolate malt. No, not smoking, chocolate malt. The point I'm making is there's confusion. Time wasted, no edification. Even so ye, verse 12, for as much as ye are zealous, and they were, of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Do you notice that even in these verses that Paul is pushing them, encouraging them to desire those things, those gifts that will remain in the church, that will not be done away with, but those things that will remain even to today. Now these things were still going on, so we'll see, they says, forbid not to speak in tongues. We'll see that towards the end of the chapter. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret, for if I pray in an unknown tongue. Did I finish verse 12? I'm read it again. For even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That should be our desire. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is what? It's unfruitful. It's not good. It's not helpful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Do y'all see the word Spirit there? Do you notice it's not capitalized? Verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen? And thou giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not what? There it is, the word again. Not edified. I can see he's happy, but I ain't got a clue what he's saying. What's he happy about? Why is he so thankful? He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. You know, Paul had, he spoke fluently 13 different languages. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. It's more important that we hear and that we learn and that we grow in the Word and be sound in doctrine. It says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men, or be mature, be grown. Don't desire these childish things. And the law is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. That's simply saying someone else is going to come in and teach and preach, someone who's not a Jew. For tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. These sign gifts were gifts that validated the messenger and the message they preached for the early church. We don't need that today. Why not? What is it that we have today that validates the messenger and the message? We have the Word of God. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, notice this, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are what? Another word for mad is crazy. Y'all been there? I've been in some of these churches before where people are just up, running around, going into convulsions. And do you know what I thought in my mind? These people are what? Crazy. They're mad. Oh, they said they were slain in the Spirit. But do you know what you won't find in the Bible? People slain in the Spirit. So again, you validate what people are saying and doing by what? The Word of God. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And he knows this. Why? Because of what you are saying, he hears. And God uses the preached word to convict and to convert. If you want others to know that God is in you, preach the Word. Proclaim the Word. That was verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, that every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? He's rebuking them. Look, he says, let all things be done unto edifying. Stop trying to draw attention to yourself saying, look at me! If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by what? And that by course, that by turn, and let one interpret. All these yahoos running around today and doing what they're doing, jumping pews, and the whole church is up in uproar, that is not biblical. That's confusion. It's satanic. It is not of God. Oh, I've had people recently tell me this. Put your Bible down. Stop studying the Scriptures. I even had one say, I told one, I said, I can't, the Word of God, hey, put that to the side. I said, I can't put that to the side. Let's put the Bible, put that, don't even think about that. Are you crazy? This is our God. If you put the light down, what's going to happen? You're going to fall off the cliff. As soon as you put this word down, listen, folks, choose your heresy. Because that's where you're headed. But this person was saying, put that down and just think about it this way. I don't want to think about it that way. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. If you would just put your body, stop studying so much, and just sit there and wait for a feeling from the Holy Spirit, and go with that. So my answer to that is, or my question to that is, how do I know without the Word of God if I'm feeling the Holy Spirit or not? Because just because you're feeling something does not mean it's the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I also had this question, how does he feel? Oh, watch out. What? Yes, how does the Holy Spirit feel? Well, you just know. How do you know? It's a feeling. How do you know? You just know. Thank God. You just know. You have to validate everything by the Word of God. When you have all these people jumping up and down and saying these exotic words and this one saying this, saying that, they're all, listen, the Bible plainly puts it that that is not of the Holy Spirit. That is wrong. It's not of God. Look at verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, now hang on a second, how do you know if there's not an interpreter before you speak? Have you ever thought about this? Look, it says verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, now how are you going to know if there's an interpreter or not before you get there to speak? Today they want to say, oh, you just speak it, and someone's going to pop up in the pew like a, you know, like the hippo game. Boom, boom. Pop up in the pew and say, I got the interpretation. That's not what the Bible says. So how do you know? You ask. That's why you don't just let anybody get up and speak. Preach. Teach. No matter how spiritual they may look. He says, but if there be no interpreter who knows what it says, let him do what? In the church. In other words, shut up. And let him speak to himself and to who? Now, if someone comes in from another country, I know one language. It is Southern English. That's got to be a class somewhere in this world, okay? But someone comes in. Listen, someone comes in from Mexico. I don't know Spanish. I don't. Uno, dos, tres. That is it. And I probably said tres wrong. One, two, three. But if they come in and they're over there praying, and they're praying in Spanish, they're speaking to themselves and to who? God. The rest of us don't know what they're saying. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. This is teaching, this is preaching. For ye may all prophesy one by one. Look at this next part. Why? Why one by one and not in competition? That ye all may learn. Folks, do y'all know why the church gathers together? We don't gather together to get our Jesus on. We don't gather together to make that checklist and have that done for the day or for the month or for the year. We don't gather together to be entertained. To have a groovy feeling. We gather together to learn the Word of God and all may be what? comforted. Isn't that amazing? You go through a major trial in your life. Do you know what comforts you more than anything else? The Word of God. Thank God for God's people. Thank God that we pray one for another. But ultimately, do you know what comforts us? The Word of God. We learn who God is. We learn how faithful God is. How? Through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Do you know what people say today? I don't want teaching. I don't want to learn sound doctrine. Entertain me. Again, that's not what the Bible says do. That we may learn and all may be comforted. You go through a trial. Listen, there's going to be trials that we go through that are, it just rips our hearts out. Yes, we will weep. We will weep out loud to the point of our bodies going into convulsions because we're weeping so much. But in the midst of that weeping and the hardest time of our life, we can also have a peace about us of comfort. Why? Because the Word of God says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He is our rock. He is our strength. Our very present help in times of trouble. And we are comforted by these truths from the Word of God. Not from some kind of fancy saying someone may have from the pulpit or from the radio, wherever. But our comfort comes from the Word of God. Amen. People may say, do you ever have any kind of problems in your life? To that, I would answer, you have no idea. You have no idea what me and my family suffer every day. I have no idea what you and your family suffer every day. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. You look around, you can always find someone in worse shape than you are, right? You know where my comfort comes from? The Lord. Little Pat sent the scriptures out. I think it was either Friday or yesterday. Psalm 121. Look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Cometh from the Lord. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, that's good to mark that down, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Listen, people, women cannot be preachers or teachers of men. Women do have a role, very important role. Listen, y'all have been gifted for the Lord's church and for your families. And Lord willing, next week we'll look at more of that. How in the world will the church make it without women doing their part in the church? He says this in a rebuke to them in verse 36. What? Came the Word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? I mean, are y'all so special that y'all are the only ones that's getting the Scriptures? Did y'all come up with these things? No. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Like the Galatians, the Corinthians were trending away from sound theology. Do you know who does not like sound theology? The goats. The goats are a representation of those who are lost in the church. Goats don't like sound theology. Goats like to be entertained, to have all the feelings and emotions that goes with everything. But the true sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ wants to feed upon sound theology. That good, as Paul tells Timothy, that wholesome food, that wholesome doctrine that builds us up in the faith, that makes us strong in the Lord. That's what the sheep want. The Corinthians looked at the sign gifts as being the most desirous because they got the most attention. Got to the point that they were no longer serving Christ in the spirit, but in the flesh. And here's a problem with that term I just used there. In all actuality, we cannot serve Christ in the flesh because we end up serving self. And he deals with that in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now he just dealt with the divisions among them. Even verse 1 he says, I have to talk to you unto babes, Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Is it selfless or prideful? Is it for Christ or for self? If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What's this saying? All that we do for self, for the glory of self, is going to be burned up. That which we do for Christ will remain. It's all these badges that we may earn by men down here or think we put on ourselves. It'd be a sad day to get to heaven and come before Christ with nothing to offer back to Him, wouldn't it? Because we did all we did in the power of the flesh for the show of men, concerned with what others think about us in the sense that I got to impress this one and impress that one. I do want to encourage us in this. Though the Galatians, he called them stupid more than once. The Corinthians, he said that they were dumb. Do you know what they were? The Lord's church. They were learning. They were growing. They were making some major mistakes. Aren't you glad that God's mercies are new every day? Have we not made mistakes? And guess what we're going to do tomorrow, even today? We're going to make more mistakes. But we learn, don't we? From the Word. We learn. I think we'll stop here. I have another whole page of notes. And each page is about 20 and 25 minutes. Keep this in mind. As we continue looking at spiritual gifts for next week, let's go to Romans chapter 12. We cannot choose our gifts. You have what God has given you. And you don't have just one gift, by the way. you are a gift to the Lord's church. And however it is that God has gifted you, that's how you serve the Lord's church. Yes, we fine-tune things, don't we? We learn how to do things according to the Word of God for His glory. But I want to read Romans 12, and then we'll close for this morning, and we'll pick up here next week. We'll finish from 1 Corinthians next week and then go to Romans 12. But I want to read this. First thing, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What's the first thing we do? We are a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. What did Isaiah say? Use me. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Have you ever known someone that says, how did the world ever make it without me? People will say the same thing inside the church. How did the church ever make it without me? What y'all going to do when I'm gone? I've had employees say that. What you going to do when I'm gone? I said, same thing we've always done. Keep going. Keep in mind that the Lord gives us these gifts. The Lord keeps His church going. He preserves His church. He builds His church. Amen. That's what the Lord does. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This is not talking about saving faith. Okay? This is talking about faith with these spiritual gifts. Look, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body. Now remember, we just looked at this terminology, right? And all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing, I encourage you to underline that, differing, according to the grace that is given to us. Who gives us this grace and this faith? In these gifts. We read it a while ago, and we'll look at it again next week in 1 Corinthians, that He gives severally or individually as He will. Whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion or the measure of faith. Same word in verse 3 there, same meaning. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest, in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men, even those who are negative. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord willing, these are things we will learn next week. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 12 next week, and then we'll come here to Romans chapter 12. Lord willing, that's our plans. Then we'll also go to Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 4. I encourage y'all to read these things in advance, study them. Amen. And then may the Lord grant us grace to apply these things in and through our lives, in and through His church, for His glory. Let's pray.